Hey, compost lovers. I'm still in Austria on day three of this amazing compost study tour, and we are sitting down with Ursula Solomon. Again, I apologize to all the German speakers out there for my terrible pronunciation. When Austria banned organics from the landfill in 1992, Ursula was working with the Waste Management Association in Upper Austria and was tasked with figuring out how to separate and divert all the organics from going to the landfill. Ursula was very humble in her description, but I could tell she worked tirelessly to get her community composting. In 1996, Ursula conducted an analysis of the waste stream. Yes, she personally donned gloves and sorted through many samples of trash. 24% of her community's waste was made up of organics, or what Austrians call bio-waste. When she showed that data and could project the savings the area would have if the bio-waste was separated out and then composted, she then had to figure out how to implement it. You will get to hear how Upper Austria now has some of the cleanest streams of bio-waste heading to farm composters. Spoiler, it takes a lot of communication. But Ursula provides lots of great tips on bins, collection, quality management, benefits and drawbacks of the bag system, communications, and more. Ursula was also tasked with convincing six local farmers to begin composting and accept municipal organics. That was a tall task, too. After speaking with Ursula, we had the absolute pleasure of visiting Gerald and Karen at Hofer Nature. Again, sorry. Ursula helped convince this couple to compost on their family farm. Cool thing about Austria's compost industry is that they have annual awards for the best quality compost, and it's like a legit competition. Karen and Gerald received this award in 2017. You listeners seem to like my description of Slovenia a couple episodes ago, so here we go with a little more ear candy. Our little tour bus, driven by my new friend Martin, the very skilled driver, meandered through these narrow, hilly roads flanked by meadows and fields of sunflowers and pumpkins. Pumpkin oil is a specialty in this area of Upper Austria. We pulled up to a gorgeous barn. I have a photo in the notes. Karen and Gerald greeted us with big smiles. We saw their tidy piles of various stages of compost, watched neighbors and landscapers drop off materials for composting, and they showed us their equipment for watering the piles. We then went to their classic farmhouse, which has been in the family for many generations, and got to see the cattle getting their hay dinner. We met their 10-year-old daughter and an adorable litter of kittens. My son tuned everything out once the kittens showed up. Karen showed us the simple collection truck they use for collecting the neighbors' materials. I picked a couple pears off a tree in the small family orchard, and they were some of the juiciest, sweetest tree fruit I've ever experienced. This family was incredibly generous with their time for this ragtag crew of international composters. Karen and Gerald's site produced the most contaminant-free compost that we visited on the trip. They contribute the compost cleanliness to knowing their customers. They do the collections themselves, and so every household in the region personally knows them. It's easy to reach out and say, "Hey, neighbor Sally, that new tea bag you're using isn't compostable." And Sally wants it to work for the sweet compost couple. Now you get to hear from Ursula as she gives our group a lecture about her last 30 years working in Upper Austria's municipal waste management. It's pretty fascinating. Welcome to The Composter, a podcast for farmers and composters. I'm your host and fellow composter, Jane Murner. Join me in practical conversation between industry professionals and farmers with a passion for producing high-quality compost. We're going to dig deep into the science, technology, and art of compost production so that we as composters can help enliven the world's soils. This episode of the Composter Podcast is brought to you by High Country News. High Country News is an independent, nonprofit publication that has been covering the Western United States for more than 50 years. HCN provides unique on-the-ground reporting on the land, water, wildlife, and communities of the region with dedicated coverage of climate, environmental, and indigenous issues. Sign up for free newsletters or a trial of the magazine at hcn.org/no-till. This episode is also brought to you by the Culinary Breeding Network and Glenwood. On Monday, October 16th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Glenwood Center for Regional Food and Farming in Cold Spring, New York, there will be an engaging evening of conversation, learning, and tasting brought to you by the Culinary Breeding Network and Glenwood. The Variety Showcase is designed to create connections among plant breeders, seed growers, farmers, chefs, bakers, distillers, retailers, distributors, and consumers. That's all of us. Attendees will have the unique experience to taste new and in-development vegetable, fruit, and grain cultivars. They can engage in conversation, share opinions, and take part in breaking down the walls between eaters and breeders. Tickets are available on both Culinary Breeding Network and Glenwood websites. Enjoy the show.
My name is Ursula Salomon. I worked here for 30 years in this agency. We are a waste management agency for all communities in this district. And we're a nonprofit agency. And so 30 years ago, I started with the separate system for organic waste, for collecting organic waste, because 30 years ago there was a new law in Upper Austria that everyone had to collect his kitchen waste in a separate way. And it was not very easy the first time because our politicians said we don't have organic waste in the dustbins, in the waste containers, we don't have anything there. And so I had to show them what was the reality. I started first with organizing the shredding material from the gardens because it was every autumn and spring we had a lot of garden fires and everyone burned the garden materials. And so we started with organizing the collecting and the shredding. And also today we organize and finance the shredding for about 2,500 tons a year. And then the second step was I started a pilot project for collecting separated kitchen waste with this paper bag. And I started in this little town and it should have been a very finance-able system. Our politicians have been afraid that it will cost a lot. And they say there is no kitchen waste in the dustbins, then we cannot afford it.
Yeah. We won't be elected next time.
Yeah. And after this pilot project in this town, I introduced to every community, and 3 years after, all communities did the collecting of separate kitchen waste. I showed them in every municipality, I showed them what is in the dustbin. And also in our rural environment, we had 24% in our waste containers from organic waste. It was too much also in our district. And I did this analysis in every community and showed the politicians the reality. They could smell it, they could feel it, and they could see it with their own eyes, what's in the dustbins in their own community. And so I tried to convince them that it's necessary also in our district. I explained them that it is too expensive to transport the kitchen waste for 100 kilometers to the next incineration plant. It's too expensive. It's better to take the money and treat the organic waste here in this region. It's composting. It's the better way for our soils here where our food grows. And we paid, 3 years ago, we paid 45 euros per ton for the composting and 150 euros per ton for the incineration plant. It's too expensive. It's only the treatment. These are only the treatment costs. And then you have to pay also the transportation costs. I showed them that I told them that it's good to have enough households which use the collecting system for organic waste, and then you can have less transport and treatment costs, and it will not be more expensive when you have a second collecting system. In some villages, we had students, they visited all of the households and they showed them the paper bag, that is a double layer paper with a third layer on the bottom. And you can collect here waste, organic waste, kitchen waste in a very easy way. And it does not damage. It's a good thing. And it's for this time, it was a cheaper thing than a bin transportation system. And with the students, with the visitors, with the visits from all households, we have been able to increase the number of households from 10 up to 150. And then you can have the amount in the dustbins you will have to reduce. Really. Today we collect only for our own farm composting plants in the region, we collect 8,100 tons of garden and park waste and 1,400 tons of kitchen waste. And you have to notice that we, in the same region, we collect 4,000 residual waste that goes to the incineration plant. We have a district with 37 municipalities, 800 square kilometers, and 46,000 inhabitants. You see, it's a very rural structure. The greatest town here is Rohrbach with 5,000 inhabitants. We don't have a large city, and so you cannot do a system for the beginning at this time. It would have been too expensive to start with the bio bins, with the organic bins system.
So it's the bigger ones, you mean?
The bigger one, yeah.
To 240 liter bins. Yeah? With big collecting trucks also.
I started to start with the composting plants with the farmers to go contracts, and we projected them for the farmers. We projected the whole composting plants, and now at this time we have 15 asphaltic plants in the whole district. We have 5 plants where they do only garden waste. They treat only garden waste there on the soil. There's no asphalt there, and today we have a capacity between 100 and the smaller one and 2,300 tons a year. They do composting for their soil and for the gardens. I also did the the certification for the greater ones. We, at the first time, we paid them, we paid for it, our agency paid the certification for the composting treatment. So the farmer, we could help them. And now today we have about contracts between association and farmer, between all of them.
Just wanted to say, today it is, what you see here is the formal designation of the Compost and Biogas Association. And they provided this certificate that was paid and covered by you. The important thing here, why do we need this extra certification? Because there's a law, there are requirements, there are waste license and permits, and there's written exactly how the farmer needs to establish the composting plant and how he should run. But there's a lot of education included, a lot of counseling and support in doing the right job.
But I think it's also very good for our households that they know that it's certificated work, that is a good treatment and not only a landfilling project. It's that they do really good work and make products from waste, from organic waste from the households. The farmers got 20% subsidies from the government in earlier times and 20% from our agency. So we could help also in finance terms. The system today we have is this paper bag. You can also need a metal holder for it. So you can open it the and the second possibility to use this is this recyclable plastic of cornstarch for small garments. You can also take this large paper bag for the collecting system. The other garden waste you have to put directly to the compost plant. Everyone goes there and puts his grasses and his grass and his garden waste there to the compost plant directly. Nobody has more than a few kilometers to the next one, to the next plant, and so it is possible to bring it directly there. We have a general waste charge without differentiation of households with or without organic waste system. Everyone pays the same. And so you have more acceptation for another collecting system.
This is what we described together with Paul, what he said about the flat rate. So that you have a common charge. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you need extra for residual waste, an extra bag or extra container, you pay something extra. If you need more
than residual
standard,
waste,
standard collection.
Yeah. But with this one charge, he pays everything for the recycling center, for the bio waste, for the organic waste. And for the residual waste or for paper, we also have a paper collection system from each household.
And the bags are numbered?
The bags are numbered, yeah. Because of it's possible to inform better this one household. If there every time he takes an old plastic bag inside, we could inform him. So we have each paper bag number. I don't know where they are now. It's not a numbered one. But each one has a number.
Most probably.
No. Here the machine numbers. In Italy it's produced and the machine puts some. Oops, I think it's a. No, it's not. It's from Biomat and Norwich, not an original from us.
But you have them there.
But it was very simple in earlier times to inform the households with a number.
This is another number.
No, that's 1822 Produktionsjahr, producing number. No.
Okay.
I will show it afterwards. The benefit of the bag system in the kitchen, it's easy to close. Also, the paper bag is closed. You have a one-way system. That means you have not to take back the empty bins. And you have in Austria, it's a problem with freezing in winter. And with the paper bag or the cornstarch bag, there we don't have any problem. And you are very flexible by different waste amount. You can take 2 bags 1 week or only 1 week for two, 1 bag for 2 weeks. It's very a flexible system.
May I add something to the freezing that you understand that you have raw kitchen waste. Yeah. That's minus 15 degrees Celsius. You put it just in the bin and overnight you have minus 10, minus 15 or something. Then the material is frozen to the walls of the bin and then you can't get it out. And there are some, I have the experience that they come now with a fire, with a flame sprayer in order to warm up the bin to get the material out. And with these bags, you don't have that problem.
And we collect
but
it.
This is not your problem in Ghana. Maybe yes.
We collect it every week, the whole year round. So the material is fresh. It's not in the folding process. It's a very fresh material. Mm-hmm. And with the paper bag, you have to collect a little bit drier than with the bin. You cannot put in the salad with the liquid.
With the sauce.
With the sauce. So it's a little bit drier. And this is good for composting because the wet material is not easy to compost it. You have no fouling smell in the kitchen because it's a ventilated system. You have always the air around and it will dry up and only liquid smells and not a rather dry material.
Even after 1 week, you may look, depending on the temperature, with this semi-permeable still breathing material, you may lose 12% during the investigation of the water. So you're also transporting less water, less weight. Yeah.
Less weight.
Mm.
There where we have problems with cats and dogs, we need a collecting system in front of the house, like the boxes, where you can put the bag inside. And so also birds, dogs are no problem anymore. Also, the farmer himself does the composting and the collecting. So he knows what he was bringing home to his composting plant. And our households know him. And this is also a very good thing. Instead of an industry of an agency. Yeah, this is the number on the, and this is a number on the paper bag. And every household has his number. It's a controlled picking up from the bags because he himself does the collecting and not a specialized truck who doesn't think it doesn't matter what's in, he puts inside. And the farmers do the transportation with their car in the trailer in a very rural district where we have only 100 households maybe, or he does it with a tractor and the trailer. And only Mr. Hoover, wherever you go afterwards, he has a special collection truck. And we, our agency, pays the agricultural transport fees, which we have in Austria.
Yeah, there is a association for cooperation between farmers to rent machines. So that the farmers have standardized charges and fees for their services with their machines, with their tractors, with their trailers, with their plowing machines, with whatever. They help the municipality in street cleaning and snow cleaning and sweeping and so forth. In the winter time, they do the mowing for the municipality. They have extra income. And in order to organize this in terms of economics and the financial system, there's a national list what each service per hour per machine would cost. And this is the tariff system, an Austrian-wide tariff system that is updated every year. And this is the tariff also that is paid by the association to the farmer
for the collection.
So that you don't have, you know, biased negotiation, individual negotiation, who pays more and what. So it's
standard,
really organized.
All right, everyone, important public service announcement. I know some of you are already making plans for how you'll spend the winter, ordering tools, researching seeds, projecting crops. It's also a great time to gather with other farmers to share knowledge and skills. This February 22nd to 24th, join thousands of farmers like you and me from across the U.S. for 3 days of community building and farmer-led learning at the 35th Annual Marble Seed Organic Farming Conference. Save the date and find out more at marbleseed.org/conference. This episode is also brought to you by Viably, the master distributor of ComTech products in North America. For over 25 years, ComTech has worked with scientists, agriculture experts, and customers to develop a proven four-step process that produces healthy, contaminant-free compost while optimizing commercial production efficiency. This process is known as shred, turn, screen, and separate. You can learn more about Viably at thinkviably.com. While you're there, request a complimentary consultation to discover if the ComTech process is right for your commercial operation. It's your host here, Jane. I have a ComTech Star screen, and it has seriously increased the efficiency of our screening process here at EarthCare Farm. Viably is proud to support the Composter podcast and is ready to help you make the most of a great opportunity. And now, back to the show.
The benefit also during the collection is that you have less costs with this transporting system. It's not as expensive than with the specialized trucks. You have no false mauling when you go after the transporter. You have less weight because of the evaporation of the material. And you have less contaminated material because the citizens meet the farmer and he knows who he is and he will buy the soil and the products, the earth products for his garden maybe afterwards. And so they are very, they try to collect good material. The disadvantages are it's a one-way system. You have to pay for each bag. It costs something. And you need a complex information of the citizens. You cannot collect liquid waste, so you have to strain it because then you will have liquid collecting, liquid in the bag, in the bins. And you have to buy an extra thing like this Air Max or like this metal holder. That is something we don't finance from our agency. Each one can do it or not.
So these little kitchen buckets, they are not provided by the association to the households for free?
This not, only the bags.
Only
the bags. He gets 52 bags a year. Without any extra fee, paper or recyclable plastic.
How much is the bin?
Of 5 euros.
Okay.
It's not really expensive.
There are other associations. We will see one in 2 days. I think they provide them for free also once for each household because when they start a new household or new apartments are built. They get it at the beginning of the scheme. So in terms of convenience, it must be calculated in the overall cost and fee regime.
It's a better way to give it free, but it's a politician decision.
To provide the whole system for the households.
Collecting bio-waste is very necessary to inform the households continuously. Every time you have to write about it. I did 2 magazines a year. I did write on my website. I did in the local government magazines. I wrote every time something about the right information for collecting good materials. And this will never end, I think. You have to inform. Waste management is something you have to do everything to write about it and to inform. We have open days in the recycling centers where also we inform about biologic as organic waste, and we have open days at the composting plants where we had little bags with the product, so that people could also feel it and smell it and see what is the product from their waste material. But it was a good thing we did the years ago. I did the last kitchen waste analysis. We analyzed 9 tons of kitchen waste, and we only had 19 kilos impurities. It's a very good analyze and a very good quality for a product afterwards. And I think the information had done a good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a fast running through our system. I think you will have some questions.
Yeah, the last was mainly about you have to keep the level of awareness constantly up on a certain level. And this, because it goes down by time, and then you have to remind the people, oh,
Do you have competitors or you have the collegiate company? The competitors.
Yeah.
Have different companies that are going to them.
To do the job. You mean there are 6 farmers and no, I want to do the job or no? No, who would be the competitors in the collection scheme or in the treatment?
In the collection scheme.
No, we had only a few farmers in earlier times.
No, in the collection. For collection of the biowaste, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And we had to convince them to do this. It's a job for you and you will earn money for every month and you can do it for yourself. It was not so that we had 30 farmers, I will do it. They had to be convinced. They had to show that they can earn money with this job.
And they have a benefit.
And they have a benefit.
Because of the money, because they are the
They
masters.
Have a job in the region. And he will not have to go to the next city.
Can you share with us some of the ideas, how you are able to convince the municipal to accept their collection idea?
The citizens.
I showed them the analysis. I showed them the what is in the bins.
In the waste bin.
What is in the waste bins?
Are you asking how to convince the citizens or the politicians?
Both.
We have the law. Everyone has to collect his organic waste and treat it in their own garden, or he has to put it for the collecting system from the community.
So either home composting.
There's a law in Austria.
Either home composting or participating in the collection scheme.
Yeah.
There's a strict law. And the municipality has to implement that.
It
is the duty of the mayor to do something about it. If he doesn't do his job, he's breaking the law.
Yeah.
And if the home, if the citizen tells you, I'm doing home composting, but in reality, he sows it in the neighbor garden, I don't know what, then the citizen is breaking the law.
Yeah.
So in case of the beans, the supply of the beans, the municipal food beans.
Sorry?
The
residual waste beans. Yeah. What is with them?
The municipal or the contractor with supply.
So the flag is of the Gemeinde oder ihr die Haushalte mit den Restmülltonnen versorgt oder
Now they pay for the bin, for the residual bin, once a time.
Once per year.
They buy one bin from one residual bin, one waste container.
The residual waste container belongs.
But today I think it would be better that we, as agency, buy this and give them the bin For use. Like, but with the paper collecting system, we do this. All the 2,000 and 20,000 paper bins belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a later system, and we started with giving them without any money.
Again, at least for residual waste collection, there's an obligation for the community, for the municipality, or the waste association, depends on the organization, to provide collection. And there's an obligation for each household to participate in that collection scheme. There's no way out. It's completely closed. Yeah. So it's just a question, who is organizing the bin? Is it given to the households, or should they buy them, obligatorily buy them? Yeah, this is a decision.
Does the farmer regularly communicate with your agency, farmers, to tell you what the new contaminations are and how to
word that? We help them in all administrative barriers. Mm-hmm. We help them in ADM, become a disability. It is ADM system.
With their reporting duties, to the ministry.
To the ministry. We help them in very, very many things.
Okay.
It was my personal job, I
think. You know them all well.
Yeah.
And then we have now quite, during the last 10 years, developed an electronic data management system with an obligatory reporting and registration system for all waste management companies, collecting companies, processing and treatment companies that have to give the data, send their data in a certain structure electronically via a web-based system to the ministry. And this is in practice, this is controlled by the provincial government. And there they need, specifically the farmers, the small companies, need a lot of support in order to implement this from handwritten protocols to this, electronic system.
Do the farms have scales to weigh the material coming in to help with that data collection?
Only the weight.
Oh.
Do they have Brückenwagen?
No. We have now. We have to wait. They wait once a year at the local weight Brückenwaage.
So
einmal im Jahr, und dann wird ein Durchschnittsgewicht hochgerechnet.
Yeah. So they test. They check the weights precisely with the weight bridge, the local, the regional weight bridge there. And then they calculate it for the rest of the year.
An estimate.
Yeah. We're in a typical period with a typical, with a routine route.
September and March.
September and March.
There you have a
the swings of high
level. Genau. In summer you have more and in winter less.
And the garden waste is estimated or assessed by volume.
Yeah.
And then recalculated by the factors to weight.
Yeah.
To the mass.
Because otherwise he would have to go 10 kilometers to the next weighing system.
Yeah.
Possibility to weigh.
Gebühren. Are you interested in the waste fees that are paid by the household or the numbers a bit?
Yeah.
Also, was type and household? Yeah.
€160 a year
for 80 liter residual waste.
For everything.
It's calculated based. So the differentiation is calculated based on the waste bin size volume. So if there is a household and he would ask, "I need 120 liters," he pays more. Is this possible? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And the smallest bin is
80 liters.
80 liters. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's the same bin. It only has a higher bottom.
Ah, okay.
80 and 60 liters, and so it's good for the household to have a reserve place in the ton. And otherwise, you will all get with the bulking waste material.
It's better to.
So the methodology is done half of the
the residual waste, the for all every 4 weeks, 4 weeks.
Once a month.
Yes. Once a month, and you can also have it 2 weeks or 1 week for some.
You have to order it.
To order it, yeah. And then you pay the double. Then you pay the double.
And this is pay as you throw. There's a standard program.
Yeah.
160 euros per year for 80 liters, monthly 12 collection. But then, no, I want to produce more waste. I need more. Please come every 2 weeks. Okay. Then 320.
When you have a baby,
and then you feel it.
And everyone can use our recycling centers, can use the organic waste collection. The whole system is possible to use for. And if a farmer doesn't need a collecting system for organic waste, then maybe some more, what's this, Altöl?
Machinery.
A farmer has more machinery to bring here. And so you have an equalization.
To ask whether this calculation is only in the upper Austria or national wise, is the same way?
No, it's only in our district, only for 50,000, 56,000 people.
As Paul told us today, you ask, is this flat rate unique for the whole country? No, because there are very different settlement and also traditional collection schemes. But I think there's a good communication between the districts.
It was a hard discussion.
Yeah.
Because you have to organize 37 communities, and the community can say, we will this way or we will that way.
Yeah.
And you have to convince the politicians.
Yeah, the competence for the waste fees is with municipalities, in fact. Yeah, basically. But then you can ask, if you build a municipal association with these 30, 27 or whatever municipalities that are included there, they have to decide what is the purpose and the duties and the obligations then of the association. Why, for what purpose we sit together. And this would be one purpose, to give the competence to the association. Yeah. And you have to understand that the municipalities are not separated from the association. It's their association, and they, how many mayors do you have? Have you a general assembly with all mayors, or how is it organized? Or is this only a
And we have a delegation from each community. We have about 58 members in our.
Yeah, so there are two people, more or less. Two
people.
Yeah, yeah.
Major and.
So they sit together and can develop the system as they think it's the best way.
Hmm? We explained them the system, and then they had to decide it.
Yeah.
And there are two Versammlungen jedes
Jahr. Two assemblies, two meetings per year.
Per year, and there they had to decide this.
Yeah.
But we showed it the best way.
You're the technicians, you bring the ideas.
Yeah.
Sometimes the mayor bring in ideas.
This agency work of five people, and they do the whole job for waste.
And they are member again of this LABU. We have been in Belz. Yeah. So, and there's a share of competence and support, as you have seen, for the waste recycling centers, which we receive right now, the recycling centers, where they, on the next level, they invest in the recycling centers. They pay the personnel of the recycling centers.
We pay all for the recycling centers. Also, if there you cannot earn money for the bulking materials, we pay. For the hazardous materials, we pay a lot.
Yeah.
And this we all have to pay from the disposal charge, the waste disposal charge.
Yeah.
And the agency is something like NGO or not? It's
a non-profit.
Non-profit organization. Yeah.
Mm.
Like a community, like a municipality, but on a...
It's a public
institution. A public institution,
In this case, this is not a private public. It's a pure public institution. To my opinion, it's very important that waste management specifically with the view of this recycling development, very important. It is kept in the hand of the public. Yeah, in order to gain what to give back the efforts that has been done in recycling to the community, to the population, yeah. too. Yeah, and it creates also the corporate identity of the in the long run. A lot of education and understanding needs to be done over many years, maybe a generation or half a generation. But at the end, this keeps the benefits to the region.
And we collect, I think, 207 kilos from each inhabitant recyclable waste. And we collect 70 kilos residual waste. It's an enormous amount of recyclable waste.
How many recyclables, including biowaste?
No, without biowaste. Only with only materials collected in the recycling centers.
Every town and city needs someone working in the waste sector as dedicated as Ursula. I've included her presentation notes if anyone is interested in seeing the photos that accompanied her talk. The bottom line is that the area is saving a lot of money, a lot of landfill space, the farms are thriving, and not to mention the area's soils being enriched with great quality compost. So many benefits. The other amazing point is that trash headed to the landfill is collected much less frequently, every 4 to 6 weeks now, instead of weekly, due to there being so much less of it and its lack of odor. And the farm we visited, Karen and Gerald's farm, can be viewed at www.hofer-natur.at. It was the kind of farm I like to see, with a diverse family operation with cattle, crops, compost, and the family house in the middle. A lot like mine, so it felt like home. As always, thank you to No-Till Growers for making this possible. All our sponsors, the awesome music of Soulshot, Mother Earth, Jah, Buddha, God, whatever benevolent being allows for this fun career, and especially you, our compost-loving soil nerds listening in, tuning in, hearing me. I appreciate you.